Today's session is entitled The Successful Strategies in Elder Speak. Our presenter, Diane Patterson, owns Let's Move Mom, a home-based business in Orange County, California, where she writes customized moving plans and finds solutions and options for her clients and their elders. She is currently earning a Master's of Science in Gerontology, which is the study of aging, at Cal State Fullerton in California, and she plans to graduate in May of 2006. Diane has over 25 years' experience working with senior citizens and is currently writing her first book, On Purpose, How to Do Old Really Well. Please welcome Diane.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to this session. I'd like to warmly welcome you here today. I'm going to speak to you and teach you about a new field of organizing, gero-organizing. I'm going to help you speak more effectively to your elderly clients, whether they are young elders, middle-aged elders, or very old elders. This is a very large group of people and a very lucrative source of business for you in the future, a very long future. Let me tell you that I come today from my own little business, Let's Move Mom, where I write custom moving plans for people to move their elderly, but I also look for other solutions and options for families. I do consultations, and I do encourage you that once you become proficient at gero organizing, you always have the word consultant on your card. Over Thanksgiving, I had a family with 8 kids, 6 of them who were all in town, come to me. Dad had tripped at a golf course. He had been always attorney, volunteer for this one golf tournament. He'd fallen and broken his shoulder. Mom couldn't lift him, and Mom, she just basically had retired and was getting ready to travel and have fun, and here Dad was in a very bad situation. Having consultations with families in need is a wonderful thing to help them realize that there is lots of hope and help out there. They just need to be directed where to find it. And you are a terrific source of that hope and help. I also own a registry called Elder Movers, Inc., which utilizes insured organizers across America to assist families pack and move these elderly clients. And at this time, I'd like to introduce a very dear friend of mine, Peggy Marinello. Peggy, come up to the front. She is a founder and past president of the San Diego chapter, and she has agreed to take over. Turn around, Peg. Say hi. She's agreed to take over heading up the registry and has a box of cards, two-sided. On one side, it's Let's Move Mom and my information. On the other side, it's hers. And take as many of those cards as you'd like. And if you fit our criteria, which is being a member of good standing with NAPO National, you do not have to be a chapter member, you have insurance, and also you're willing to work with the elderly and have a website. That's our 3 criteria. We're very interested in sending business your way. And the bottom line is we are looking at a 5% only for the work that we would send your way. And with that, I will let Peg do that. Also, Peg is going to be our Phil Donahue today. She's gonna have a microphone and go. When you have questions or when I'm asking you to respond to something, if you can't get out quickly, put your hand up and Peg will come to you. We are gonna do several exercises today, and I'd like to follow the guidelines of our wonderful speaker last night. When you have finished the time that I'm going to have you talk to each other, I'd like you to put your hand up and quiet down. We only have an hour and a half, and I have some terrific cutting-edge information for you, so we're going to move through that. Midlife. Most of us here are in midlife, and let's talk a little bit about that. Midlife means that you become more reflective. You start pondering the big questions. What is life? Why am I here? How much healthy choice ice cream can I eat before it's no longer a healthy choice? I want to tell you that aging, the best part about aging is to have choices at every single level that you're at, whatever age. And as we go along today, I'm going to give you many tips for successful aging for yourself, and I'm hoping that you'll carry those tips along with you. Teach them to your children. They are aging at this minute. Teach them to your mothers. They will be happier next year. And please incorporate them in your life. And by the end of today, you will know three things that you can do this weekend. Starting this weekend, if you incorporate them into your life, you'll be a happier 80-year-old. Or if you're already in your 80s, you'll be a happier 95-year-old. All right, let's begin. What is gerontology? Who is a gerontologist? And enter the professional organizer, gero organizer. Gerontology is typically defined as the study of the processes of aging, those multiple and interrelated changes that affect the biological, behavior, and social aspect of life over 60 years. Gerontology is more than just the study of aging. It also includes providing service to older people and their families. This is the practice of gerontology. Gerontology is oriented towards applying what is known in relevant and helpful ways to alleviate some of the problems that frequently accompany old age, to prevent other problems, and to enhance the opportunities for personal growth. This was written by one of the grandfathers of gerontology, David Peterson. He now is an Alzheimer's victim and cannot speak anymore, but in the years that he could, he wrote many wonderful, wonderful things and was a resident at USC in their doctoral of gerontology program. Who can be called a gerontologist? I hold to the distinction that a professional gerontologist is a person who has completed an education, like my upcoming master's. But gerontologist is a broad term that includes many persons involved in work with aging people. The emphasis is on social consciousness and an applied commitment to aging persons. Becoming knowledgeable about this growing population really makes sense. It is a ripe field and ready for professional organizers to harvest. The growth of our senior population today and the potential explosion of well-funded baby boomers set to hit old age in just 5 years. Yes, check your watches. In just five short years, the first baby boomer hit 65. This has led many business people to the realization that older persons are a very desirable consumer group starting right now and continuing well into the future. New products and services such as home health, active senior living, travel and educational packages, and professional organizing, just to name a few, are getting more visible and more acceptability. The baby boom generation spans 18 years and includes those born from 1946 to 1964. But turning 65 is just the beginning of it. Many of them will live another 18 years after that, as average life expectancy right now for men is 77 and for women is 84. Many, many people in that segment will live longer than that, with the fastest growing population segment in America today being the 85 plus or very olds. There are over 400 centenarians, that's 100 years and older, just in Orange County, California alone. We're not even talking Florida. Anyone from Florida? Okay, you know. Anyone from Southern California? In the desert area? Anywhere? Okay, we are ripe for professional organizing in all over America, but especially those two places have huge populations. So, enter the professional organizer. You already know the ways that you can improve the quality of life for these senior citizens. So let's begin with moving ourselves into the emotional space of identifying with some of the challenges that the clientele you hope to serve have in their lives now. I'd like to know who you are. I'm going to put you in three groups, so get ready to move. And as I'm moving you, I'd like to know, what does aging well mean to you? And we'll take this up in a moment, but here are my three groups. Is anyone in this room right now caregiving in their home? I have one hand in the back. Do I have more? These pillars make it a little hard for me to see. Okay, do you caregive at home? No, okay, that was group number one. So I have two more hopeful groups. Do any of you caregive, elder caregive, in any other way? By phone? Okay, by taking groceries, by doing financial things for the elderly, checking on a neighbor. All right, you, my group, you're moving over here to this side of the room, and I'd like you to get ready. The second group, I'm going to shift you over to this half of the room. Let me see how many of you here want to work with the elderly. You came here today because you want to work with senior citizens. All right. Is there anyone in this room who has a sneaking feeling that it's going to be you someday soon to do any kind of elder caregiving? All right. I'd like to put you with my group number one. So everybody pick up your things, get up, and move straight from this side of the room, our caregivers now are to be, and this side are my interested in senior issues. All right, as you're sitting down, I'd like you to take 1 minute each. You're going to introduce yourself to the person next to you. Tell who you caregive to in this group or who you're expecting to caregive to, whether it's a mother, father, sister, brother, or relative or friend. And this is the moment I'd like you to exchange business cards with emails with each other because we are starting a support group in this room right now. All right, my new friends, has everyone had a chance to tell who you caregive to and exchange your business cards? Have you had your chance? All right. Not quite yet. I'll give you 30 more seconds. Dun, 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 dun. Welcome. If you are a caregiver already, head to this side of the room. If you want to work with elderly clients, head to that side of the room and introduce yourself. Thank you. All right, everyone, we're going to move to the next section, and I want you to remember that we're supposed to be in groups of twos or threes. It will cut the time down. But that's all right. If you'd like to turn your chairs around or stay how you are, but I'd like everybody to go in their big book to pages 200 and 201. Those are my two handouts, because we're about to participate in another exercise, and I call this my exercise in elder speak. And for this, you will need to be in a little bit smaller groups, because then you can talk to each other just a little bit more. So if you'll split the group up into groups of three, count off in threes and stick to that, that will be very helpful. Or twos, it'll give you more time in twos. All right? Okay. Here are the rules to this exercise in elder speak. I want you to write down your first thoughts in 2 minutes on these three questions. Then I'll give you 5 full minutes to discuss the questions and your answers within the group. Then pick one person from your group to represent you, because we're going to present these ideas to the larger population. All right? Here are three questions. What does quality of living mean to you? What does your elder look forward to in life? And if you do not have an elder that you know, you can use a client. If you don't have a client, you can use some relative of yours. But somebody that you know who's older, you know what they look forward to in life, whether it's ice cream every week, going to lunch with you every week, hair shop every week, whatever it is. List those things. And the third thing is, what three things do you consider must-haves in old age? And by the time you get through the first two questions, you will know the answers to your last two questions. So everyone, start writing now. When you're done, please speak to your group and really talk about this, because I'm bringing you up to the front, and we're all going to talk about it. Has everyone gotten to question three? Or do you need a little more time with question three? If you're done, start talking to your partners. Start over on this side. All right, everyone, do you feel like you've talked to each other about this? All right. Then what's going to happen is the microphone's going to start going around to different groups, and I'd like answers to the first question. Quality of life. Group number one over on the caregiver side of the room. What does quality of life mean to you? Short list.
Hello.
Getting out to do social activities and serving others so that you feel needed. Freedom of choice, independence, and having a purpose.
Very good. All right, next group.
On this side?
Yes. Same question. If you have anything different than...
ability to function in their environment with or without additional outside support, treated with utmost respect and patience, active, knowing who can help them, independent as possible, able to handle change, interact with family and friends.
All right, great. I can't even write that fast. That was wonderful. Okay.
I think I'd like to say that all of the things that have been mentioned, we mentioned as well, but we also noted that this particular question doesn't just generate ideas that are relevant to the elderly. It's also, what are the quality of life characteristics that all of us would like, whether we were 20, 30, 40, 50, or lots older?
You have caught on to the exact reason I'm doing this. Aging is about us. You started aging the day you were born. This is about us. And if we take this into our, if we personalize this, we can serve the elderly even more effectively because we get it. We have accepted this, and aging is a very hard thing to accept for many people. Okay, another group, what are your thoughts?
We said about the same thing, except just to add friends, fun, financial security, and good health.
Friends, fun, financial security, and good health. Okay, show of hands in the room. Who wants that in their old age? That's exactly what I want in my
They're
old age.
They're talking F words over here.
No.
Friends, fun.
Oh, that's right. Okay, more thoughts.
We decided that it should be healthy enough to make and carry out your own decisions.
Healthy and decision sounds like choice. Excellent. Okay, another group?
I think everything's been touched on, being comfortable.
Comfortable. All right.
And having support when you need it. Physical, emotional, and spiritual.
Very, very good. All right. Peg, keep moving.
To still be valued as a member of the family or community.
Valued. Oh, community and family. Very good. All right. More thoughts?
To be guaranteed a good night's sleep.
Oh.
A sense of humor. A sense of
all
humor.
All right. On we go.
Yeah, a sense of humor, which hopefully you've had all your life.
Humor. Oh, what a great thing to keep in old age when everything else is falling away.
I have down freedom from pain.
Freedom from pain.
Good food, good surroundings, good books, music, art, and travel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that good was relationships, but you've already got that.
All right. Good books. What was the next one?
Good books, music, art, and travel. I was thinking about me.
Music, art, travel. Well, you know, and here we come to our second point of this first question. This is very subjective. It's you. This is you. And you know what? The elderly are you, too. They're just 20 or 30 years older than you. New thoughts. No new thoughts? But what were your favorites? Give me three of your favorites. I will let you talk on that.
Mine was just being able to travel and do the things that I want to do with my family.
Travel, okay. Let me start over here. What was your groups?
A lot of the same, independence, being around people that you love, having fun, being healthy, comfort, humor, travel, support.
Keep your sense of dignity.
Dignity. Oh, we're going to talk about that today. That is great. Does anyone else have something that you feel we haven't covered? Peg, on that side. And you, can you come here? I'm on a tether.
Somebody just briefly mentioned spirituality, but I think a basis of faith is very helpful in older age.
And we will touch on that too. New research has come out on that just in the last year. Excellent. Anyone else with another thought that you feel this group needs to hear? Please come here. I'm tethered, and Peg's working this side of the room.
That we're still on number one.
Continued learning, loving, and leaving a legacy.
Oh, wow. Wow. And can professional organizers help with that? Leaving a legacy? Huge.
Having a positive attitude towards aging.
Yes.
It makes a difference.
Yes, it certainly does. Thank you so much. Another one. Come on.
It's still on one. One word.
Okay.
Safety.
Safety. Huge issue. Come. What would you... Whatever. What would you like to say? I'm on number one.
One of the things that I, in my age, but I think most people, is good work. But then for the elderly to feel as though they're part of it, that they're not marginalized.
Yes. Yes, and recognition of work they've done. I am a firm believer that this country, our roadways, our waterways, those were all built by the greatest generation. The people who are very old right now, we should well, it's not because we did it. They laid the foundation, and they deserve respect, dignity, honor, and thanks. Thought.
I put control and access to resources, which is important, especially with what's happening with our healthcare system these days.
Yes, there is a whole day's worth of talk about this, and I will touch on things briefly. But I do want to tell you that last week at the big aging conference in Anaheim, California, I stood up in front of a room much like this and told the AARP board up front that if they didn't want, they were talking a little bit about how they needed to reinvent themselves too so that people wouldn't think they were passé. And I said, you have the addresses of every 50-year-old and above in America. You know who the companies are who will give people over 50 work.
you create the database, and then you won't be out of a job. And the most wonderful thing is the 200 people behind me all went, yeah, yeah, when are you going to do that? So hopefully we'll see that soon from AARP, because they have the technology, and it isn't that hard. But just like NAPO, somebody has to lead the way. All right, let's go to question number two. And I'm going to start with a lady in the red in front. Let's look at, what does your elder look forward to in life? And forward is a big word. All right.
Yes, and some of the things she looks forward to are continuing to work.
Okay.
She's a photographer, and she can work.
And how old is your elder?
82.
God bless her. Okay.
And trips with her family and stuff like that.
However, trips. Okay.
She's also looking forward to becoming more deaf, more blind, and dying. And giving up her car, which is worse.
She's looking forward to that. So she's getting herself ready. We're going to come to reality really soon in this talk. All right. Who else had something to say on what does your elder look forward to? All right. Come here, please.
Routines.
Routines. Yeah. Consistency. Okay. Come on up to the front, please.
My elder looks forward to springtime, actually. She is 79. However, she's still, springtime is a very big deal for her, and gardening.
Ah, okay. Oh, very good. Someone else had a comment right here. Please, please come to these microphones.
We had a couple. We said socializing, friends and family, relaxing, learning new things, and spending a lot of time revisiting old things. Whether it be hobbies or places, and keeping family together.
Family togetherness. And how large is their family?
Well, it depends. We were talking as a group. Some have a lot, some have a few, some don't have any. So then they turn more to the friends.
Okay. Diane. Yes.
Okay. You've covered some of the ones we were going to say, family and friends, but also my client looks forward to me bringing my dog and me.
Thank
he
you.
Loves my dog.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
pets.
Everybody in the building loves my dog.
Everyone in the building loves your dog.
So I have to bring him. He's part of the job.
And where do you live? Where do you work? What
he's
county?
He's an assisted living in Kensington.
Kensington,
Maryland.
Maryland.
And they allow you to bring pets in, and they allow pets to live there.
This is the wave of the future, everyone.
And he looks forward to Peapod, which I order his groceries for him, chocolate, ice cream.
And how old is he?
88.
Yeah. Remember the ice cream. that's a constant with the elders.
Oprah.
Oprah. Oh, God bless him.
An email.
And email.
He looks forward to his email.
Oh, yeah.
My 80-year-old mother looks forward to Christmas and Yankees games.
I'll be your scribe.
Thank you. Diana Gilly from San Diego, who will be president next year, has agreed to be scribe. All right. Christmas and the Yankees. You're going to write that. All right. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi. 90-year-old client, just got married in November, and the one daughter now doesn't speak to her mother because of the marriage. So that's keeping the family together. Didn't work. But.
I will also speak to you a little later. My husband's a conservatorship and probate attorney in L.A., and I have lots of information, lots of little looks into things. I ran his office for 7 years. I'll bring that up later, too, but we have some legal things to talk about, everyone. Very important for you in working with the elderly. Okay.
Exactly. I have almost the same scenario, but this was my mother at 81, just got remarried after 25 years alone, and she is looking forward to every day. She had a destination wedding in the Caribbean, so she is looking forward to a new life. And we all love it. All the kids are happy.
Oh, that is a wonderful story. Thank you so much for sharing. We're all going to be 81. If we live long enough, we'll all be 81. If you have lost your spouse and you want to keep living, who all here wants to try it again? Okay, we have one in the front, one in the back. Honestly, okay, more and more. Life doesn't end. We don't end. Forward. Every day, that's what aging successfully does. It looks forward every day. I love the email story, the 88-year-old and the email. I'm here to tell you, my mom's first cousins are in their late 70s, and they've got this little email thing going on. And one of her great, and you'll see some of the things later on, she's emailed me. She has decided her job is to find every joke about the elderly on the internet and send it to me. And you'll get to see some of those. So now that we've talked about that one.
Can I add one more,
please.
Thank you. I'd just like to say that my mother, who's an aging 76-year-old diabetic with Alzheimer's, what she enjoys most are her massages. Because the elderly don't have opportunities to be touched. They may get pecks on the cheek and they may get hugs from their kids. But they don't get touched.
Someday there will be traveling touchers. We have them now. They're massage therapists, and they are more and more. But in your senior centers and in your groups, there are going to be support groups because all of us are going to be this age. There will have to be people who go out and touch each other. There will have to be people go out and help with the pets. If you think Meals on Wheels was a great idea for food, there's going to be hugs on wheels and pets on wheels. There will be, because we want it. We do. Peg, is there another one?
No, I was just tapping my watch, Diane. I love you.
You're right. I know you do. All right. We're moving on to number 3. Now,
Diane, for all of our sakes.
Get ready. That's right. We're moving on.
I have one over here.
What 3 things do you consider must-haves in your old age? Totally honest, right here.
Enough money. A mix of privacy and a sense of community.
Okay, privacy/community.
And the ability to do both new interests and favorite old things.
Okay. Next, I need people to stand up and be ready.
We decided on financial health, physical health, and mental health.
Excellent.
This job is tougher than it looks. Come on.
Okay.
Stand up.
Well, what I'd like is people who love me to be around all the time and a feeling of vibrancy and purpose.
Vibrancy and purpose.
And an ability to be active.
An ability to be active. Wow. Top 3 on my things. Just Kathy, good. From your group?
I think we can just done a lot of
this. Something to do, something to look forward to, and someone to love.
Isn't that beautiful?
Aww.
Will you share?
I forgot what we said.
They were the same things.
Tell me again.
Money security, health security, and I added home security.
Okay. All right. Over here. Please, come here. I'm on a short leash today.
I know you are. Sorry. I've got here, you want to be surrounded by your treasures. Oh. And I do that because I'm in relocation and downsizing. So someplace in this mix, I also believe that they want to stay in place.
Yes, aging in place, huge. Come, Jessica.
I put that everything will be in order so that I don't leave a burden for my family.
Oh, thank you. She just said 3 words that are so important. You know, we spoof when we're younger. We spoof and say, oh, I don't want to be a burden to my children. That are so how they feel. This is how you will feel in 20 or 30 years. It's right here. You know what another verbiage is? I've fallen and I can't get up. My grandmother at age 94 called me with those words. I said, what? She said, Diane, I'm laying spread eagle on the kitchen floor. I pulled the phone cord over to get it, and I hit redial, and I got you. She said, I don't think I've heard anything, but I can't roll over and get up. Well, we had the fire department climb in the second-story window because my grandmother lived in Fort Lorena. She had bars put on every one of her downstairs windows, and we couldn't have gotten in. So the fire department climbed in the window, picked her up, put her in her chair, and she's my bouncing grandma. She bounced, thank God, no broken hip, because, as I'll bring up later, a broken hip, 75% of all broken hips die within the first year because there is a blood hormone that triggers when you break a hip. And it's very devastating to the body, hard to get up. More answers on my question, please.
Oh, we had good food, companionship, and good mental and physical health.
Wonderful. Oh.
Plus, I added that I want all five of my senses being met.
Yes, wonderful. All five of the senses being met. Tremendous.
Nobody's mentioned chocolate yet. What's with you guys?
Adequate health insurance.
Oh, or sex, someone says?
Okay, we have adequate health insurance, adequate chocolate, adequate sex. Does that cover it?
What more is there?
Okay, want to let you know, and I talked to an 82-year-old lady in Costco the other day in Southern California, and we were chattering away, and she said, well, I have this boyfriend. And she said, you know, my husband died at least 20 years ago, and I don't know how it would be, and I really don't want him to spend the night yet until I'm ready. And I said, when will you be ready? And she said, I want a ring. And I said, good for you, you get it. And she said, well, my sons have been telling me they're not happy about this, and what am I going to do with the money and all that? And I said, would you please tell your sons that if they don't stop and let you be an adult American woman, they're going to piss you off. And she looked at me, and she was so happy. And then she went back to sex. And she said, I'm kind of worried about this. I'm kind of worried. And I said, darling, you have less to worry about than he does. And that is the truth. And so all of you remember that and keep yourselves healthy. All right, one more in the back.
Peggy?
You know, my father at one point talked to me about his will. He's not even that old. He's not even 70 yet. But I said, Dad, if you do it right, there'll be nothing left.
Good for you.
Families, money, wills, these are big things in the future, and they're big for you to know as professional organizers. Let me move through the rest. Thank you, Diana Gilley, and thank you, Peggy Marinello, for your help in our exercise. All right. I encourage you, when you feel you're with a group of people who might not be getting it, please take out these three questions, and please do a little group get-together in a home in a quiet place and talk about these things. Talk seriously and find some lightheartedness about it, just like we did today, because these are the things that make us run and hide from aging, but you can't stop it. All right, my goal is to bring you greater understanding of yourself while approaching your elder years, making you a better professional organizer for elderly clients. You can read and arm yourself with research. Good information is the best defense against wrong thinking. We tend to deny many issues and the challenges of aging before we get there ourselves. You can make good decisions now that will help you to age successfully and become a more sought-after organizer. So here we go. I tell my husband that our dog loves me because I open the can of dog food, of course. Well, my question to you is this. Who do you open the can for? My dog's love and affection for me partially stems from the knowledge that every morning I'm going to open that can of dog food for her. That's nourishment. That's pleasure. That's affection. That's her attitude towards me. So here's my question for you. Who do you open the can for? I want you to think about that and get that person in your mind. If that person is an elderly person, you are more important than you know. If it's the elderly clients that you seek, you will be more important than you know. The things we've talked about, the human touch, the cheerfulness, pat on the arm,
bringing a breath of fresh air into their lives. These are important, classic jobs of a gerontologist because it is that social consciousness and it is bringing help and hope to seniors and their families. Now, I want to know, who opens the can for you? Who gives you nutrition of the heart? Who do you look forward to? Every one of you, I know you're told to turn your cell phones off. I want you to pull them out right now. I want everybody to get a cell phone in your hand. Okay? And here's the thing. That person who you treasure should know it. As you hold up your cell phones, and I'll wait for you to dig them out. Okay, have we got them? Can you hold them up so I know that pretty much the room, you got them? All right. Think of them right now. Let the warmth of their love, their friendship, their memory permeate you right now. And I'll just bet that their number is already in your cell phone. Or better yet, you have a photo of them, maybe even of your dog. I might open the can for my Fiona, but you know what? She opens the can for me too. And that's just the real truth of it. I have a very dear friend at home. She keeps a dog in her purse at all times. We were in a restaurant, and her purse moved. And I said, "No, you didn't." "Oh, yes, she did." She said, "That's all right. He makes no noise, and I'll just throw him bits of bread." Okay, that's the way my friend lives. And she goes to shelters, kill shelters, and she will adopt these little babies, and then she goes and finds them homes. That is what turns her on. That is what she opens her can of food. And I'll tell you something. Every one of us has that inside of us. Now you have entered the world of your aging client. When you hone in on what you treasure, what you value, what you want to carry with you into old age, and no one is going to take it away from you. You've worked hard to have these things in your life, and quite frankly, you want the free choice to choose more as you age. That is who your elderly clients are. I'm going to speak a little bit to integrity and lifespan development. I started to work at 15. My first job was in food service, which, if you have never had to serve other people in a fast food setting, is an exercise in reality. Parents hope their children both experience and then run from it as fast as they can, because there is nothing more educational than a dose of reality, all the while smelling like grease. Who here has worked food service? Anyone? Oh, okay. Who has been in food service management? Okay, all right. You are the people who have made strong impressions on your younger workers. I have the privilege to have as one of my dearest friends, and I name my only daughter after her, a woman who was a manager of food service in a well-to-do retirement facility in a southern town that hadn't quite heard of the Civil Rights Act yet in the late 1980s. At least that's what this California girl thought when I lived there for 6 months in 1989. Catherine managed her African-American workers with respect and dignity they seldom saw in their bosses. An anomaly started to repeat itself in Catherine's workforce. When one of her staff was ill or had to take personal time, an able-bodied family member would show up to the back door of her restaurant before the shift started. With hats in hands, they introduced themselves and announced that their relative had made it perfectly clear that Ms. Catherine would not be shorthanded that day. Her workers' dedication was well-founded. I watched Catherine climb into greasy kitchen overhead stovetops to clean them when her shift worker was older than what Catherine thought was proper to ask. She dished out main courses herself to the wealthy clientele so that her staff would not be accused of shorting a patron's plate. Her staff loved her and served her with great dedication that was a reflection of Catherine's attitudes towards them. That attitude can be summed up by the word integrity. Integrity, this year there's a brand new book out in business leadership called Integrity by Henry Cloud. And he says,
that integrity is the courage to meet the demands of reality. By the time people have reached old age, even the young old age of 65, they understand and want to live in integrity. As youth recedes, and in physical and emotional ways, there remains a longing and insistence for integrity, this courage to meet the demands of reality. Reality and old age go together like fast food and youth. We have to experience it, but we want to run away from it as fast as we can. What hope do we have but integrity to face these demands of reality? I concur with Betty Davis when she said, "Old age ain't for sissies." To work effectively with the elderly as clients, it is important to understand their values and their physical needs. This can be subjective to each person, but there are objective similarities that we can work on learning. Old age can be vibrant and healthful and satisfying, but it is a very different life than midlife. What I call those trips down memory lane usually happen more frequently for seniors because they are in that stage of their lifespan development. Gerontology 101 is all about lifespan development in conjunction with the biology and psychology of aging, and it gives us a healthy dose of their reality. Gail Sheehy, author of New Passages, explains adulthood in an understandable way. She says that provisional adulthood, ages 18 to 30, were our tryout 20s. She says first adulthood happens between 30 and 45, the turbulent 30s, flourishing 40s, and our second adulthood, and many people say that that's over the hill, and others say that's when life begins, it's 45 to 85. The flaming 50s, serene 60s, sage 70s, uninhibited 80s, the nobility of the 90s, and celebration of the centenarians. Gail Sheehy wrote this book in 1995. It's called New Passages. And those of you who'd like to better understand aging, this is a very modern approach to it. There have been many wonderful psychologists who've written books on lifespan. Many have gone for the decades theory or the every 5 years theory, and there is much truth to all of it. But Gail Sheehy does a wonderful job of making it very modern for us to understand. We all learn about aging as we go. When I worked during my 20s as a pharmacy technician, I learned firsthand about people in pain, their search for the answers to it, and their willingness to try drug interactions that might give them hope for healing, or at least a reduction of their symptoms. Pain can be debilitating, besides annoying. It can cause a shift in our focus away from normal life until we rid ourselves of its effects. It was during this time that I developed a heart for all caregivers, anyone who gave care and helped to others who needed to be cared for. These people seem to have the ability to share their normalcy with others for a while and bring stability and health to multi-generations. I thought that was a noble and worthwhile use of time and effort. Caregiving comes with a price, as many of you know, and I respect you very deeply for participating in that. And I encourage the rest of you to not be afraid. I myself cared for my mother-in-law, my grandmother, her 94th and 95th year, in a hospital bed and in diapers with three little kids around, and my mother-in-law, her 80th through 85th year. She was a professional psychologist, brilliant woman who I explained dementia to 5 times a day until she forgot that she really needed to know that. Caregiving is a task that is about life and love. And I encourage you who haven't known it yet, do not be afraid. And actually, as professional organizers, as GERO organizers, you actually will be participating in caregiving because you will be giving care in a way of getting people organized for the rest of their life, no matter how many years that will be. After 5 years in pharmacy, I spent the next 10 in the music industry. There I met people of passion. The music industry is all about art, image, and business, and not necessarily in that order. Music is one of the most controversial of all arts. It has the power to persuade, excite, or soothe masses of people without verbal accompaniment. It can lift up or bring down our mood in 12 bars or less. Our ability to remember the words of the contemporary music of our youth is almost scary. All right, one last exercise. Turn to the person next to you, and start humming a TV jingle or a commercial from when you were a teenager. Come on. All right, did anyone sing the Maxwell House Coffee song? That was the one that I remembered. USA and your Chevrolet up here. All right, now that you've shared your jingle, see if you can pin age on the person next to you from the jingle they just gave to you. Really, ask them if they're right in 5 years, within a five-year span. That is a really fun exercise to do. That truly is. All right, in bringing this back, all right, ladies, we have 32 minutes and we still have a lot of way to go. So I'm going to tell you that having had my fill of pain and passion, I took the next 7 years to explore the world of law, where I learned about people of perspective. Perspective has a lot in common with passion and art. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and sometimes it feels like law is that too. What I had assumed would be settled, unexciting, and quiet work turned out to be exactly the opposite. Family challenges and crises were a steady procession into the office of the competent and caring conservatorship and probate attorney I worked with and was married to. During this time, I saw the gaping need for my own aging education so I could find solutions for the issues that families experience as their loved ones grow frailer. This is when Let's Move Mom was born, quickly followed by Elder Movers, Inc. With high hopes and the distinct realization that I was on a journey from which I wouldn't turn back, I spent the next 8 years pursuing an education that would give me the right little letters behind my name. I knew at school I was surrounded by people of purpose. I had always given a lot of time to the concept of living on purpose. After all, during all the years before this, I'd accomplished some mighty things. I'd gotten a library put into my hometown. I wrote a successful petition to the LA County supervisors to get weapon detectors installed into my local courthouse. And I ran the promotions and product campaign for 200 high school students, including my own three kids, who performed in the opening ceremonies of the Sydney Olympics, the Summer Games. I did all of this without a college degree. But where I need to go, a bachelor and master's is just the ticket. I will graduate in just a few short months with this professional degree, and now I teach wonderful people like you about the mysteries of growing older and assist families by finding solution and options for their elders concerned. And I'm writing my first book, On Purpose, How to Do Old Really Well. So here's a little wit and wisdom that I've picked up along the way, thanks to Cousin Joycey. Here's one from John Wilbur. I've been reading lately how 70 is the new 50. Too bad my back and knees can't read. Kathy Norris says, in spite of the cost of living, it's still popular. And this is a great one. It's not your age that matters, at our ages. Let's be honest, aging is a blow. We tend to deny aging's claim on us. We don't like to see it happening to our parents, our spouses, or ourselves. We deny its importance sometimes until it's too late to make positive changes in one or another areas of our lives. We avoid this for good reason. But what are those reasons? Can you list them? Or is it just that nagging feeling that you can never go back to blissful ignorance if you really face aging like a good, hard look in the mirror? Would your list include loss, change, and fear? What about gains, experience, and wisdom? Let's look at these areas. This was another item that I wanted some of your input in, so I would like you just to stand up and shout out what you have to say when I ask you this. I want four people to tell me what you believe are immediate losses in old age.
Anyone?
Hair. Physical mobility. I've got hair. Memory.
Friends.
Driver's license.
Eyesight.
Partners. Diana, what did you say?
Hearing.
Exactly.
All right.
And my list here says losses, hair and hearing, depth perception, and visual acuity, balance and mobility. And balance and mobility is like number one in aging issues right now. There's some big funding going on for studies for balance and mobility, and this is a big thing that you can help with your clients. If you notice they have problems, and I have a slide on that in a little bit. All right, change. Let's stand up and let's hear about change. What do you think? What changes?
Not working.
Waistline.
Relationship to your children.
Great one. Any other changes? Where you live, that can really be true. All right, and I wrote down, here's some changes in old age. Wrinkles, graying or silvering hair, muscle tone, and youthful appearance. Ooh, that hurts now. We're all facing that, and how are we gonna deal with that? Okay, now fear. Fears.
Let me hear some fears.
Safety.
Death.
Illness.
Falling.
Loneliness.
Loss of memory.
Falling.
Becoming a burden. Thank you so much. And I wrote down the unknown. What others have experienced. They all had a call from a girlfriend who just told them about her recovery from that latest whatever. Oh, and they don't tell anybody. It just sits there and hurts them. Okay, also fear of illness and debilitation. Now let's talk about gains, experience, and wisdom. I've written down gains of family. The older we get, the more kids just seem to keep popping into our lives. So we really do gain some family. We gain our lifelong friends and those friendships. Those are great gains. Every day you live and have a friend, that's a longer friendship, and that's an exciting thing. Relationships that give us strength to keep going, even when the going gets rough. Through positive relationships, we gain hope for our futures, even when we are very old. I love the story that we heard a very old person who got married at 92. What a hopeful future. They're looking forward to a life with this person. See, hope for the future. It's huge. Experience. Faith. Someone brought this up earlier. Faith in our own capacities to keep finding fulfillment. We live in a land where choices abound. Choices help us face change with hope. We can keep reinventing ourselves along the way. Take classes, learn a new skill, volunteer. That's what our grandmothers did when they got bored. They volunteered. And you know what? So can we. And because there is going to be such a huge generation of people hanging around, the whole thing about the hug patrol and the, you know, transportation for dogs to go to the groomers, these sound funny now. They'll be really great for us to do with our time when we get older and don't want to work anymore. And some of us want to work until the very end. All right, we have 25 minutes to fill you with some great tips for your old age and my strategies on elder speak. But first, I'm going to take you through what we think to be pretty much old age. When I was younger, I thought 58, the first one there, 58 was pretty darn old. I kind of thought I would just, I don't know what I thought, because I didn't think about it. But let's go through this just very briefly. A 58-year-old says, I've learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. 68 said, I've learned that whenever I decide to do something with kindness, I usually make the right decision. Age 82, I've learned that even when I have pains,
I don't have to be one. Age 85. I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love that human touch, holding hands, a warm hug, or just a friendly pat on the back. Age 92. I've learned that I still have a lot to learn. That is a hopeful ager. That is a person who is young at heart. Now, I'm going to speak to you about some very important issues for you. We're talking about your aging right now. I want you to tell them to your best friends, your spouse, your children. This is important stuff. The number one research that came out in America last year was on inflammation. We do not think about inflammation. People do not say, oh, hey, that's the biggest thing in research today, but it is. I don't know if any of you heard quietly last year that the United States government made obesity a real disease. Therefore, on Medicare, they will pay. They did that because of inflammation. Women who are overweight die from cancer 20% faster than women who are not, and 19% of men die from cancer if they are obese, if they are 20% over their weight. I'm leaving overweight at this moment because there are so many ways to attack that. I personally believe in curves. I believe in some form of exercise every day. There's the Mediterranean diet is great. There are so many things for us to look at. Do not hate yourself. The weight will stay on. But please realize that inflammation drives the top five things that kill us. It is doing it in your body now. And the reason the government is so afraid of the obese children is the rate of inflammation that is attacking everything from their joints to their bloodstreams is this inflammation. The solid research shows that inflammation drives heart attack, stroke, lung disease, cancers, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, and even obesity. Just as insidious are inflammation-driven arthritis, asthma, allergies, chronic pain, eczema, and fibromyalgia. A way to combat this a silent source of inflammation is to fight yeast. If you de-sugar and de-starch yourself as much as possible, you'll be working at de-inflaming. Look for foods that de-inflame you, like walnuts. I'll talk to you in a minute about walnuts, and that is my first tip for this weekend. Bring them into your life on a daily basis. They will do more to de-inflame you than you realize, and they are a wonderful substance. We also know that stress increases inflammation. Stress shortens our lifespan. Stress can cause regular cholesterol to become oxidized cholesterol, and that's the kind that kills you. Reduction of stress is heart healthy. Breathe and exercise to reduce your stress. Take yoga or a Pilates course, and I've given you a website, www.yogaworks.com. Learn the art and value of breathing and stretching. And what if you don't already do this? They make you breathe in and out of your nose. And if you sit there and try to do that, you realize that you must move slowly. And all of a sudden, this is the key to de-stressing ourselves and to really getting into this next mind frame. To de-stress, you have to stop requiring yourself to be crazy. And this is a wonderful thing that professional organizers can do. They can organize their lives to be more healthy. Exercise, sleep, and rest. Exercise daily, I wrote it twice for some reason, and daily foot health are extremely important in old age. Start now. Get moving and take care of the feet that make movement possible. Mobility and balance issues are near the top of aging concerns, and for good reason. Benefits of regular exercise, ability and increased alertness, clearer thinking, improved ability to handle stress, and a positive mood. I want those in my life, and that means I have to get up and get out on a daily basis. Be kind to yourself with rest. Rest has been shown by research to be vital to our body's recuperative powers. Sleep enough, 7 or 8 hours at night, in the dark. Studies have shown that our bodies create melatonin, a sleep hormone, which is triggered by darkness. And as you age, you'll become more and more aware of that. Please sleep in darkness, because as everything in aging, things start reducing, and some of the reduction is in your melatonin production. So please find out what's good for you and do it. Good nutrition, vitamins, and heart health. Take good vitamins and supplements daily. This website is Dr. Andrew Weil, and he has Self-Healing, the magazine. It's brand new. He has a website. He is the doctor, the MD, who was on the front of Time magazine last year, and he's known as the alternative doctor. He's all about supplements. He's all about vitamins. He's all about music therapy, aromatherapy, things that we don't hear from our MDs most of the time, and I encourage you to please go to his website and check it out. If I could tell you that every day you're doing yourself a favor by including folic acid, selenium, vitamin C, niacin, all of these things as you age, this is so true. I'd like you to go and read about it for yourself, but there are many ways to help yourself through supplements and vitamins. But let's talk about the superfoods, because those are really fun. They're incredibly healthy for you because they contain phytonutrients, which are disease-fighting plant-based chemicals, and they contain naturally occurring EFAs, essential fatty acids that have nothing to do with putting weight on you, vitamins and minerals that act as powerful antioxidants, which aid you in fighting off heart disease, cancer, some parts of the aging process, anti-inflammatories, reducing the cellular inflammation that can lead to heart disease, eye disease, and cancers, and immune system boosters, which help to keep away infections. The top three superfoods found by research just in the last 2 years are these. Blueberries, in 2005, they were the only substance on the face of this earth that they could say scientifically increase your lifespan. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, I don't know, they taste really good. No, they contain more antioxidants than any other fruit, and all dark berries and red grapes are also very high in antioxidants. Salmon is an excellent source of omega-3 fatty acids, which control inflammation. Spinach is linked to lower rates of colon, lung, stomach, ovarian, prostate, and breast cancers, and are shown to protect against cataracts and age-related macular degeneration, which means Popeye was right. All right, other superfoods. Oats and oatmeal are the nutritional powerhouses of whole grains. Besides being an excellent source of fiber, oatmeal has scientifically been proven to lower cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, and heart disease. Okay, did anybody hear that? Oats and oatmeal. Eat them every day. You'll take off 15 to 20 of your cholesterol in 2 weeks. 1984, a medical researcher had his first heart attack at 37 and said, "I will not die like this." He wrote the watershed book, The 8-Week Cholesterol Cure. I encourage you to go find it. He's rewritten it. And basically, through eating oats and taking niacin, you can clear out your pipes. You can. You can do it. But the drug companies don't want us to know this, because niacin costs 3 cents a tablet and Lipitor is almost $3. I understand this. I was a pharmacy tech. Please find out information for yourself. It's so exciting. It'll keep you young. But find these things out. Also, I want to let you know that coffee is really great, and I kind of think Starbucks paid for that one. I think they paid for that research. But the big news is decaf coffee has been proven to disseminate sugars more evenly throughout your bloodstream than even regular coffee or plain water. So, decaf with dessert, it will really, really help you and keep you further from diabetes. Oh, yeah. Okay, my favorite, dark chocolate and red wines. They're a terrific source of phenols, providing an average of 3 hours of antioxidants after consumption. Pumpkins, sweet potatoes, and yams boast twice the alpha carotenes of carrots. Walnuts contain omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin E, potassium, protein, fiber, and plant cereals. A handful every weekday will lower your risk of heart attack by 50%. All right, first tip, this weekend, add walnuts to your life, a handful 5 times a week. We can do this, unless you're allergic, and then look for something else. But please, my first tip, a handful of walnuts every day. I put them on my Cheerios in the morning. I get rid of both of those in one fell swoop. Yogurt, I know this is old, and you go, yeah, I know, acidophilus replaces lost intestinal flora after taking antibiotics. I know that. What you don't know is the chicken you ate for lunch was stuffed full of antibiotics its whole life. Almost every meat source in the United States is stuffed with antibiotics. And if you want to help yourself, put yogurt in your life. It really is very important to your body and its health. Fight depression. Depression is the number one illness of old age. Loss is very prevalent in the aging process. Fight back. Here is a terrific website, aarp.org/life/grief-and-loss. It is a tremendous thing to fight depression. Another source of depression related to aging directly affects the caregivers of the elderly. The new term, elder issue stress, means any elder care-related stress issue that affects the elder's and significant other or others who is or are participating in some form of elder caregiving. These issues range from basic needs of sleep, rest, and adequate nutrition and exercise for the caregiver to the more complicated issues of the caregiver's emotional support and respite. Wisdom, spiritual issues, and love. I'm going to skip to the next slide because new research has shown that spiritual values and prayer actually cause healing and a better lifespan. Research conducted at many institutions, including Duke, Stanford, and Miami universities, show that people who pray, read religious writings, and take part in some sort of spiritual community have better immune function, lower blood pressure, and have fewer heart attacks than people who do not. Now, let me say that wisdom is all about love. Love yourself. Aging begins and ends with love. It will make you young. Love is the key to living well. Love is kindness exemplified. Love yourself enough to take care of yourself, because taking care of yourself will take pressure off of our healthcare system. And that sounds really funny, but honestly, when you get there, it is going to be so stressed. If you have the choice of health on your side, you have more choices than a lot of people. I encourage you, now's the time to get going. Love yourself. Your clients need you. Take care of yourselves, because they are counting on tremendous people like you to show up every day. And I believe that respect is about 90% of love. See, I can say I love anybody, but if I don't respect them, it's not worth very much. It's about 10% of love. And that's where love translates in our country and in our professions to really caring about people. Let me go now to my 7 strategies in elder speak.